This program has been translated and adapted from the Greek Cypriot Orthodox radio program, Orthodoxy Today, which presents partial autobiographical elements of three elders, Porphyrios, Iakovos, and Evmenios. During this program, Mr. Kalitos Ioannidis interviews the Metropolitan of Morphou, Neophytos, at the Metropolis of Morphou, and discusses some of the aspects of the lives of these three great Greek elders. These three great elders left an indelible mark in the life of the Metropolitan Neophytos, who had the great blessing to be very close to all of them, and the presence of the elders played a very decisive role in the life of His Eminence and enriched the life of the Church in general. Again, His Eminence, Metropolitan Neophytos, had the great blessing from God to get to know the great elders of Greek Orthodoxy very closely, Father Porphyrios, Father Iakovos Tsalikis, and Father Evmenios. At this point of the interview, Mr. Kalitos Ioannidis asks His Eminence about his first encounter with Father Porphyrios. Mr. Clito, I can say that Elder Porphyrios was the beginning of my beginning, my turning point, so to speak, which led me to look for and to come to know whatever spiritual knowledge I acquired in the area of Greece, and this during my initial university years at the age of 19 when I came to Greece for my higher education. While visiting Elder Porphyrios, I must say that he perceived and analyzed my character extremely well, but he coerced me to make Father Iakovos Tsalikis of Evia my gerunda. He said, "Elder Iakovos is a sensitive man, and you should attempt to connect your spiritual journey with sensitive people. You can come here from time to time so we can discuss things, but your spiritual father should be Father Iakovos." What caused me to visit Elder Porphyrios at that time was a certain predicament which I was facing in my choice of studies as a university student. And while sometimes we visit an illumined elder, a man of God, to talk about a minor problem too, in the final analysis, the great traumas of our existence are revealed to the elder, to the man of God, which are not minor. They're not a problem in education or finances or emotional or a problem of erotic or physical attraction, problems that push us to often visit an elder for guidance. But in the process, the great trauma is revealed and the trauma is man himself. So I visited Elder Porfirios to help me if I should continue my studies in law school or if I should choose something else, as my own will was telling me at the time. I was in my first year of pre-law, and the elder expressed to me, and now I sense that those were prophetic words. He told me, "You must stay in law school, and you will do well. You will receive your degree 1 year late, however, not because you're not bright. You're bright enough, but during that time, you will discover the monasteries, and you will be involved with religious tourism." The elder was often quite humorous with his expressions. He meant that I would run from monastery to monastery, often overlooking and often at the expense of my studies. And this is exactly how it happened. Instead of finishing in 4 years, I took 5 years to complete my studies in law school because I did not study very much, choosing rather to constantly visit different monasteries. By the way, I don't recommend this to today's students. I would like to see the students be students and to study their field of science, whichever it may be. As the Lord says, you should do these things and not neglecting, not at the expense of others, without neglecting the other things. Because science and education is really a natural gift from God. And I did obedience to Elder Porfirios at the time and stayed in the study of law, and especially made it a point to tell me with his prophetic gift that this degree will be necessary to the Church of Cyprus in the future. And later on, this reality became obvious when I became a member of the Synod, and my legal background proved to be very, very useful for the church. But he stressed to me to also visit Father Iacobus. "Excuse me, Your Eminence, before we go to Father Iacobus, I would like you to tell us about your overall sense about Father Porfirios. Could you somehow define it? You already touched upon his prophetic gifts, the proratikon, as we say, with the way he solved your problem, but these sanctified people leave us with certain tastes, with some special sense, and maybe the presence of the Holy Spirit also helps us to feel this something else, which is often hard to define, and yet it is of a definable dimension within the church." Yes, this very thing that you expressed as taste, I think it to be very precise, very astute, because in reality, these saints and the elders of the church are trees full of sweet and ripe fruit, and every tree has its own fruit and its own distinctive and individual taste. Essentially, the taste that I received from Elder Porfirios, at least as I experienced it at the time as the young student Omiros, as I was named in the world, was the taste of being with a psychographist, one who knew to record and listen to the sounds of each individual soul. I believe this to be his very special charisma, something that I did not find in Elder Iacobus. I found something very different in Elder Iacobus or Elder Paisios of the Holy Mountain or Elder Evmenios of Limodos. You could find something very different in each saintly father, and I believe this to be very, very significant. We need to bring this up today especially, and we need to keep it in mind so we don't absolutize the persons of different elders and the charismas of different elders. Each elder in the church has his own individual gift, his taste. He has the density of thoughts and messages to enrich each one individually. The quality of Elder Porfirios, which made a great impression on me every time that I happened to visit him, and what touched the bottom of my soul was the fact that every time I was in front of him, he revealed to me a different part of myself. I remember towards the end of my student life when I decided to ask for his blessing to come to Cyprus to stay. I wanted to see him. And I told him, Yeronda, I'm going back to Cyprus to become a monk at the monastery of St. George in Larnaca with Father Simeon. This monastery is not thriving at this point. It simply serves more so as a pilgrimage in the world. But I feel this to be my calling from above to go there and continue my spiritual journey. He tells me, now, what are you going to do there? It's better for you to go to the Holy Mountain, go to Kavsokalivia. I tell him, but I don't want to go to Kavsokalivia. I want to go to Cyprus. No, you must go to Kavsokalivia. It'll be better for you. I have a synodia there, very close to me, and I will introduce you to them. And believe me, I don't give this information to many people. Understand, this is a special favor and honor for you. I tell him, Yeronda, we have a friendly relationship, you and I. But as you know, my spiritual responsibility falls on Father Iakovos firsthand and on Father Evmenios secondhand. Both of them told me, my son, you must go to Cyprus. When he heard this very humble man of God, I noticed that he became very quiet for a few moments. I got the feeling that he prayed that specific moment. And then he turns and tells me in a totally different tone, my son, whatever I told you previously was of my own mind and from the love that I have for your person. And that's the reason I wanted you to go to my synodia. But these things that I told you, my child, were not from God. What the other two elders told you is from God. You should go to Cyprus, and God will bless your efforts. What never ceases to amaze me, how such a great elder, I believe him to be a saint, and most likely the dean of contemporary saints, the leading Greek elder of the 20th century. When this holy man heard the names of the two other elders whom he honored and loved very much, how he immediately bowed down to them. And afterwards, he remained silent for a few moments, and then he told me, very well, nanovlegimeno, with God's blessing. I remember him blessing me with both of his hands the way the archpriests bless. And after a couple moments of silence, he tells me the following. Go, but not immediately. You must wait a year to a year and a half. But, elder, isn't this a very long time? He continued, you know something? You're going to be ordained in a holy priesthood, and your soul needs a little more refinement. So try to postpone your monastic ordination to a year or 18 months. And I said, elder, if you see something in myself that I need to work on, please let me know so I can prepare myself for the priesthood. Please tell me. And at that moment, my dear Mr. Clito, he started to single out and spell out different elements of my personality that I had never seen. Details about thoughts. Did you ever have this thought, this feeling, like an x-ray machine? And at some point, the questions were so personal that I felt that this man entered my past and followed along my life, and not simply my historical past, but he entered the subconscious of my past. He entered into the depths of psychology, as the contemporary psychologists say. Did you ever think of this? Did you have this feeling, this movement in your heart, your body, your mind? He managed to cover the entire spectrum of my human existence, my own existence. I remember being especially joyful. I was exhilarated from this very, very deep experience that this blessed man of God compelled me to enter. something else took place at that very moment. I began to sense a powerful fragrance overtake the room, a fragrance that, you know, was indescribable. And he became aware that I sensed it. And he said, "Now listen, you, after you leave and go outside, don't go saying that Father Porfirius is fragrant. This fragrance is not from me, vre." This vre was very characteristic of Father Porfirius, something like "a you." "So this fragrance is not from me, but I simply have some relics of the saints here with me. And when a pure confession takes place, they rejoice along with me, and that's why they become fragrant, my son. Do you understand?" The way of the saints. They know how to hide themselves, how to hide their virtues and gifts. Should we continue a little bit more with Father Porfirius? As you said earlier, the Holy Spirit has a multitude of gifts, and it is not possible for one elder to have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the entire divinity inside of him. And sometimes people in the world may have the impression that some elders are not in agreement with some others. This is not the case. The one fulfills the other, and each one has a special gift. What I would like to emphasize here about Father Porfirius, and everyone agrees with this, that the special gift of this elder was the gift of clairvoyancy and the gift of foreseeing, of seeing things of the future. Now, such an elder who possessed these gifts to such an extent, to such a degree, where some people of much higher spirituality than ours have claimed that a gift of this degree is given every 300 to 400 years in the church. And Elder Porfirius's clairvoyancy was not limited to the person standing next to him. What sins you may have done in your past and what kind of background you came from. He was the man who could accurately tell you that in the constellation of this cluster of stars, the orbit of this particular star was not calculated properly by the astronomers. He could search the water table of the Earth from miles away. He could detect mineral deposits in the Earth, copper ores. He could tell you that under your house there's metal, or there's a sinkhole, or a fault line. In other words, he had a clear vision. He had a clear picture of the universe around him. He could see the under-earthly, the earthly, and the heavenly. He could see the past and the future. And now, such a man who could unite the past, the present, and the future as a continuous present, he systematically avoided prophesying about the signs of the end of times. This is a very strong message for a time like ours regarding the year 2000, which has created a fertile ground for a plethora of prophecies and revelations from mostly unqualified people. Unfortunately, we don't have prophecy. We have prophetic speculation from self-called interpreters of prophecy and self-declared prophets and saints who attempt to interpret prophecies of old saints, and they don't always understand that the church works synodically. The church is a synaxis, and since the synod of the church has not expressed itself on these matters, then each person cannot interpret any way they please. And here, an elder Porfirius, with all the necessary credentials, avoided prophesying about apocalyptic events and times, about the Antichrist, about the second coming of Christ, about catastrophes and wars, about Hellenism and Orthodoxy. This man was a universal elder. He did not limit God to the area of Hellenism. Of course, we're concerned about our political and existential problem. I'm a bishop of a metropolis under Turkish occupation, and I have every reason to rejoice about the realization of some of these ethnic prophecies. Who wouldn't? But my personal desire is one thing, and the ecclesiastical phronema is something else, which first and foremost introduces us to the heavenly citizenry, and to the will of God and teaches us to submit to God's will. So a man like Elder Porfirios, while richly endowed with rare gifts of clairvoyancy and foretelling, he systematically avoided statements about specific apocalyptic events. Again, this should make us think a great deal, because many writings and many books have been circulating, making certain ungrounded claims, not helpful to the faithful, to say the least. These unhealthy attempts to satisfy people's curiosity are not new. The apostles had to deal with these things and rumors even in the first decades of the church. And the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul often speaks about false brothers and false prophets. I especially remember when I became a deacon in Cyprus, I continued to visit Elder Iakovos. I used to see the elder about 3-4 times a year. And I remember the fever of all the people back then. Now, this goes back a few years before year 2000, about the future, about the signs of the times, 666, etc. And I told him one time, Elder, what is your opinion? As you know, in Athens, in Cyprus, there's a number of different books circulating, a book of a Greek Archimandrite title, The Second Coming of Christ. It has become a bestseller. What do you say about all these things? And why don't you speak on these matters so that people and our Christians will clearly understand how to stand, how to proceed, and what should be the stance of the church? And I remember Elder Iakovos responding with a very authoritative tone, something very rare for the elder. He spoke much more humbly than all the elders that I met. He used to call himself a dumb thing, a smelly dog. He often used to use these types of expressions for his person. However, for this subject concerning future prophecies, he said, "Listen to me, my neophyte. Elder Porfirios and Dom Iakovos do not speak about anything, not the things of the present, nor of the things to come, unless the Holy Spirit expressly reveals to them. And up to this point, the Holy Spirit has not revealed any such thing to me, not about the Antichrist, nor about wars to come, or about the future." These are the exact words of Elder Iakovos, and I'm not adding or subtracting from these words. Thank you for these comments, Your Eminence, because it is so important, especially in our days marked by so much confusion and much speculation about times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And here, Mr. Clito, I must mention to you that there is an epistle held by a monastery of the Holy Mountain, and it would be good for the holders of this epistle to publicize it at some point. This happens to be an epistle of Elder Porfirios sent to Elder Paisios. Now, I understand that the content of this epistle may challenge some of our spiritual brothers, but it is good to be challenged this way. Now and then it is good. It is better to be challenged than to fall into exaggerations. This epistle says, "And this from a man who revered and honored Father Paisios very much. Father Porfirios himself told me that Father Paisios is a man of God, and he wrote to him, 'My dear Father Paisios, what happened to you? If Constantinople will be freed or not, this is the concern of the politicians and of the military rulers, and not of the monks, not even the archpriests. If the Antichrist will come, this must be the concern of the archpriests, and it is their duty to inform the people. And when that time comes, God will provide us with illumined archpriests who will in turn illumine the people. We the monks, if we are members of the priesthood, we need to liturgize for the salvation of the entire universe. And if we happen to be simple monks, we need to cry about our sins. Now, because of my love for you and knowing how much you love Christ, I am giving you a rule not to talk about these things again, influenced out of your great love for Asia Minor and Hellenism." And Father Paisios, this great man of God, did obedience to this great elder of elders, Father Porphyrios. And since then, he kept silent about these things because he realized that the smallest comment he would make would be often exaggerated by his highly impressionable visitors. Not to mention that some of these prophetic sayings were not his, but he was quoted by different people, and again, misquoted. And at some point, he was also quoting some things from a notebook of his spiritual father, Saint Arsenius of Cappadocia, who happened to be his godfather. Saint Arsenius had received a gift of prophecy, and he recorded a number of things. And Elder Paisios would make some comments based on this notebook, which he had in his possession. Now, what can we conclude from all this other than marvel the great spirit of discretion of Father Porphyrios, the spirit of watchfulness, vigilance, and patient endurance? But in order to have this patient endurance regarding the future events, whether social or political or personal, the exercise of patience is extremely necessary. And patience, according to the fathers, is also related to the place, to my environment. And if I stay at a certain place, a certain environment, I accept the overall climate of the territory, I patiently endure my general problems, and I wait for God to speak. And I don't rush. I don't run ahead. Excellent point, Your Eminence, because if I remember correctly, after the departure of these elders, some persons felt compelled to take their place. They came forth speaking excessively, often exaggerating, and prophesying using their own intellect, their own reason. And unfortunately, when we have this kind of a phenomenon, it makes the work of the church difficult. Very good point, Mr. Kalito, because essentially, the work of the church is to liberate men, to redeem men, and when these speakers are always leaning towards the signs of the times and the future, this mania about the things to come, this often alienates people from the essence of spirituality, from their personal struggle, the purification of the heart, our personal trauma, as we said, and our need to become well, to cure our passions. This is the heart of the problem. One time I asked Father Evmenios about these things, and he responded very simply. He was the most simple of all the elders. He was a man of very few words. He did not like the endless spiritual talk, the everyday spiritual questions. He needed to be inspired by someone or by something in order to speak. And when I asked him about all these prophetic talks of our days, he said, "You know, I personally don't believe that Christ would only give 2,000 years of grace to the world. It just doesn't seem very long to me." Your Eminence, these are truly important pieces of information, and it would be good for some people to hear these things, especially those who have turned the Holy Scriptures, the holy texts of the Book of the Revelation, into daily news, attempting to give answers to current events, often announcing dates, and this is certainly not the work of the Holy Spirit and not the work of serious people, I don't think.
Ενείτε αυτόν εν την πάνω και κοδό, ενείτε αυτόν εν φορδές και Here. Ημίαν δόξαν.